Blog Talk Radio.
Stuff, shooting stuff, snorting stuff, smoking stuff. You could be under the influence of anything that makes you want to do something different than you have been doing before, or that would make you make an alternate decision than you may have usually made. Anything that makes you deviate from the pattern that you have probably set for yourself is something that might have you under the influence. So we're going to talk about the other ways of being under the influence and the decisions that you made or the decisions that you might make that could affect your life, not only in the immediate future, the here and now, but further on down the line, and have you thinking like, yo, I really didn't think enough about that. When I decided to do that, I made the promise, or I said that I was going to do something and I had to follow through. It's not really what I wanted to do, and I really should have pulled back on it, because at the time that I made that decision, I thought that things were one way when they were really another way. One way when they were really another way. Under the influence. If somebody really, really is impressionable to you, you could fall under their influence. Not like a hypnotist or anything like that, but there are other ways that people can influence you. Like, you might have a big brother, a father, a mother, somebody in your life, your old head, that you really look up to. And so when they speak, or when they give advice, or when they come around, you may admire them to the point where you want to be more like them. People, it happens all the time, even with full-grown adults. Look at how people act towards celebrities now. Celebrities have always been popular. They've always had an air of a mystery around them, because we've always been curious about what it would be like to be rich and famous, famous and rich and things like that. So many people try to emulate, simulate, imitate the way that people that they probably don't really know act, because they've seen them on TV, they've heard them on the radio, they've seen interviews with them and things like that, and they really feel like they know them and they really feel like they have a connection. I know that you have known people who have told you that they really feel like they have a connection with some type of celebrity that they've never met, that they've never stood in front of, that they've never had a conversation with. And from the things that they have seen, they say, yeah, you know, that person seems like a really good guy. And it doesn't have to be like a movie star or a singer or a rapper or a sports icon. Look at when Barack Obama was president of the United States. People really felt like they knew him, and they really felt like they could feel him. They were really, really proud of him. And honestly, if you're going to be under the influence of somebody like him sounds like a decent person or a good example of somebody to be influenced by. He was clean. There were no scandals during his administration. Now, of course, when you go into a lot of things that he have done policy-wise, of course, people would disagree. But nonetheless, you can't deny the influence that he had over a whole nation, not just a nation. You had people from other nations, other countries, all around the world, internationally, saying, yo, he's a pretty good guy. Under the influence. So even though you didn't know him, you watched the impact that he had over people, and you may have thought to yourself, like, yeah, if I'm ever around that guy, I'll probably make decisions or do things to try to get his attention or to try to be more like him. Even if I haven't met him, I want to be more like him. People have wanted to be like people like not just Barack Obama. I don't know anybody who wants to be like Joe Biden, but I know that Joe Biden has his fans. Donald Trump certainly had his fans. And look at the influence. This man had thousands of people under the influence to storm the Capitol of the United States. You can deny it all you want, but they would not have done it had they not been under the influence of that man. His policies, his speeches, his guidance, and his instruction under the influence. Many of them are in jail now. Many more are pending incarceration because they were under the influence. I don't know whether they were drinking or drugging or anything like that. I didn't see any evidence to support that. But they were definitely under the influence of him, his team, or should I say his cabinet? Not all of them, but some of them, like Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani was only a lawyer, right? But he spoke. He did something. He did something politically. He meant something to people. Now, his name is Mud. Now, nobody wants to see him. But, hey, at the time, what did he say? We're going to have trial by, not battle, trial by combat. Trial by combat. I'm not going to spend the whole show on that, but I'm going to show you how you can be under the influence and make decisions that may affect your whole life because you were under the influence of something. So that's what we're talking about today on the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. How y'all feeling tonight? Or should I say today? I'm sorry. It's the afternoon, East Coast, just a little after 1 o'clock right now. What's going on, Carol Chamber? Let me friend me, Favorita. Always a good time. Really great to see you. And Care Bear, thanks for coming through. Yeah, glad to see you here. Yeah. When? Now. All right, Cookie the Crackhead. Yeah. All right, Cookie the Crackhead. Damn, dude. Do the dance, Aunt Cookie. Do the dance, Aunt Cookie. Do the dance, Aunt Cookie. That's what's up. And Aunt Cookie says, since the title was Decision Under the Influence, thought somebody had, you know what, you want. Stop playing. Contact me later. I'm just playing. Care Bear says, this show title is loaded, buddy. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. See, YouTube won't even let me talk about, they won't even let me talk about D-R-U-G-S is. They don't want you to talk about that. And that's okay. I don't want to talk about that anyway. But there are different ways to be under the influence. And we're going to talk about those things. Because like when we were talking about how certain, you know, militia groups like, what would they call the, you know, the militia groups that were really, really MAGA related and all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to go into that, but they were influenced. They were highly influenced by Donald Trump. And in that setting where they stormed the Capitol, they were under the influence of each other. They saw a lot of other people that they didn't know who came together to do the same things that they wanted to do. Maybe. I'm sure that many of them who came to the Capitol that day did not think that they were going to storm the Capitol. But they saw other people doing it, and I'm sure that that influenced them. Like, yo, we can really do this. Maybe we were more right than we thought that we were when we first started out this mission. So, yeah, here I am inside the Capitol, illicitly. But I'm here, and you did it because you were under the influence. Other people were around screaming, yelling, and saying, yeah, this is what we need to do. And you were influenced. And because of that short-term decision, it had long-term consequences. Having a warrant out for your arrest, an investigation pending your arrest, being arrested, going to court, standing trial, being convicted, going to jail. Nobody has been released. Nobody has escaped being convicted. Nobody has been acquitted that they caught. That should tell you something. And I'm sure, well, I've heard accounts from certain people who did it, and they were like, yo, man, I'm very sorry that I did that day. I really thought that, you know, it was the right thing to do. And, you know, I was riding for Trump. I really thought that he had the election stolen from him. And I thought this was a way to get it back. They made that decision. They were under the influence. They were under the influence, baby. Yes, they were. And now they locked up. It's sad. Sad. Real sad. You know what I'm saying? Make sure y'all hit that like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. I'm your host, Sun752. Let's get it popping on the intro. Urban Therapy with Sun, Sun752, and this is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. We do this every single Sunday from 1 p.m. till around 2:30-ish. And the reason that we say 2:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Sunday. And it is Sunday. This is the show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh, we cry, we argue, fuss, and fight, go back and forth with each other, bust it up all crazy. We take an introspective look into our own personality to see the way that the universe projects us into this thing called the world and try to figure out this thing called life. I am your host, Sun752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. What up, my peoples? We talking about decisions made under the influence. When was the last time that you considered yourself to be under the influence? And no, I'm not talking about drinking. No, I'm not talking about drugs. No, I'm not talking about cocaine. No, I'm not talking about alcohol. No, I'm not talking about herbs. No, I'm not talking about fentanyl. No, I'm not talking about pills. No, I'm not talking about none of that stuff. I'm talking about when was the last time that you were around a situation, a crowd, a person that made you make a decision that was different than the decisions that you might make on a regular basis. You may have gone out on a first date with somebody. You know how it is when you go out on a first date with somebody. Fellas, I'm talking to you right now. If you're listening to me right now, fellas, I'm talking to you. You know how it goes. When you have been eyeing a woman for a long time, she got you all starry-eyed, got your tongue hanging out of your mouth, you got the tongue hanging out of your mouth, panting like a dog, wagging your tail. I got to have, I got to have, I got to get it. Got to have, I got to need me. I did it. Gotta have, I gotta meet, I gotta know, I gotta see, I gotta have it around me. And you know, because you are under the influence of that strikingly beautiful, voluptuous body, heaven, coke bottle, or even if you like them thicker than a snicker, something like a milkshake. Now, can I get a couple of fries with that shake? Can I get a couple of fries with that shake? I gotta get with this when she's a baddie. From the first time I saw her, yo, she had me wanting to do something special. And I mean like an ABC special, you know, like for the kids back in the day. Did you watch? Yeah, well, I watched too. When I saw that girl and had her come on through, I said, I gotta see you. I need your number and Addy. And can I come through and see you? Please let me, baddie, I'ma show you a good time. You think I wanna show you that I rhyme. And I'm the one for you, you don't need no other dude. Don't let them come around you. That's something I need to do. All right. So when you have been liking somebody for a long time, wanting to get with somebody for a long time, and you finally get that chance, and y'all go out on that first date, you might make the decision to spend a whole lot of money that you would not on average spend. Here you are at a 4 or 5 star restaurant. You know that you are more of a Outback Steakhouse, Longhorn, Chili's, TGI Friday. You more like a chain, you know, like a chain franchise restaurant kind of guy. You know, Olive Garden, you know, that kind of stuff. That's what you normally do on a first date. You. But this one, nah, you all up in the Ruth Chris. Now, I don't know how many stars a Ruth Chris is. Matter of fact, let's look it up. How many stars is a Ruth Chris? Because, it's funny. Because Ruth Chris is a chain, is a chain. There are a lot of Ruth Chris's. It's a chain, just like Outback is a chain, but it's a very expensive chain. It's expensive. How many star ratings is Ruth Chris Steakhouse?
According to Piss Consumer, Ruth Chris Steakhouse has 2.6 star rating based on 25 customer reviews. Yes. Consumers are mostly neutral.
Damn. Ruth Chris is only a 2.6 rating. It's not a 4 star. It's not even a 3. But then again, it says based on 25 customer reviews. They might have been mad because they didn't want to spend that much. So anyway, the poll is what it is. So let's give Ruth Chris the benefit of the doubt. 3 stars, you up in the Ruth Chris, you know that per person in Ruth Chris Steakhouse, you're going to be spending no less than $75. And I'm being nice about that because I think it's more nowadays. After the pandemic, things went up ridiculously. Carol Chamberlain says, I don't think they're worth the hype. Nonetheless, when this dude is under the influence, he might be thinking, no, I got to. He may think that he has to pull out all the stops to try to impress this woman because he's under the influence of her beauty, under the influence of her personality, under the influence of trying to impress her. He's influenced. He's trying to do things that he wouldn't normally do because he doesn't want to fail. Failure is not an option with this Keisha here. This ain't the regular Keisha. This is a 5-star Keisha. I done messed around with a lot of Keishas and know me a whole lot of Keishas. Keisha's from the first grade. Keisha from the fifth grade. Keisha from the 12th grade. But this Keisha here is like nowhere nobody ever saw before. I got fear when I see her. I'll be ready to melt and her presence is hot. And yo, I really felt like I gotta get with this Keisha right now.
So I'm going to spend all my money and hopefully I'll be down. But if she don't give me a chance, I'm going to be sad as hell and I'm going to pee my pants. And when Keisha said that, I was on. I was like, hell yeah. Your word is born. I finally got the one that I've been looking for, yo, Keisha. I don't want no more girls to be around me no more. I got the one I was bargaining for. Hey, yo, Keisha, I need you, baby. I said, Keisha. Oh, Keisha. He was under the influence, baby. He was under the influence. You know, for all my drinkers out there, you know when you go to a restaurant, you spend a lot of money or maybe even the bulk of the money on drinks. And Keisha might have drank. Keisha liked to throw back some shots. And you were under the influence. So you were thinking that if Keisha throw back some shots, I might get me a shot. She's beautiful. She's voluptuous. She's wonderful, smart, educated, has a good career, and she giving me her time. We at the Ruth Chris. The steak alone was 75. Thick joint, bone in, thick. I ain't never seen a steak that thick. It was like 3 inches thick. That thing felt like, that thing was so thick, I thought he was cutting a cake. She brought the steak, the server brought the steak. I was like, yo, Keisha, you want a slice? I need a slice of that steak, baby. Anyway, when all was said and done, after she getting shots of Henny and Patron and all of that, Keisha left the jaw and looked, you know what I mean? Look, you done dropped 400. You dropped 400 in the roof, Chris. You don't get paid much more than 400 a week. Here you are dropping 400. You saved up for this first date with Keisha. The rest of these dates with Keisha, they ain't going to go like this. But you was under the influence this night. Keisha got, you know, her head feeling mellow, nice. She started being awfully friendly. It was worth it. 400. And the date wasn't finished. That was only dinner. We ain't talking about what y'all had to, you know, it wasn't over. Y'all wasn't going back to the crib after this dinner. The date had just started. You on your way to spending some, listen. This is going to be an expensive night. You going to have a child support night tonight. This is a child support date for you. Yeah, you got three kids. You got three kids, and you out here spending. You make $750 a week before taxes, and you out here dropping damn near $600 on a first date. But these are the things that you might do when you're under the influence. You wanted something so bad. You ain't going to get cheap with Keisha? No. I'll be cheap with the other ones, but not with this one. Cheryl said, you took a long time to get up from the floor. But I took a long time to get all the way down to the floor. Give me the benefit of doubt. Give me the benefit of doubt. I demand benefit of the doubt. I demand benefit of... Benefit of the doubt. I demand benefit of the doubt for sliding down in the chair and taking a while to get up. Order in the court. Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Decisions made under the influence. Cheryl made me... She influenced me to go get this gavel. Bang the gavel. I demand justice, understanding, freedom, freedom, oh, freedom, oh, freedom. And look, Carol. Yeah, look, Carol joining in talking about something. As Cheryl, if he had fallen, I would have been crying. I was already down. You just want to cry. See, I influence you to cry. You under the influence. I influence you to cry. 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 Wah! Wah! Yeah.
Cheryl says, you're right. You're right. That was smooth influence methods. What's up now? What's up now? I'm a influencer. I mean, ain't that what they call themselves on internet now? I'm an influencer. I influence people. What's going on, Campo do Joséinhos? Campo do? Did you mean Campo do or Campo de? Campo do Joséinhos. Shalom Adonai. That's what's up, man. Thanks for coming on through. Appreciate you. Appreciate you, too. Surely show the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. All right, so we're talking about decisions made under the influence. You know who makes a lot of decisions, snap decisions that might have long-term consequences because they under the influence? People who need a lot of attention. Attention seekers will make some snap decisions because they were influenced, trying to get more attention, trying to, Care Bear says teenagers. We're going to get to that. Oh, we're going to get to that. Wait a minute. But people who need, because, you know, teenagers do need a lot of attention. They do, period. But people who are serious attention seekers, they make decisions on the fly because if they are getting the attention that they need, that they so badly crave, or they're not getting the attention that they really, really want, then they might make decisions to try to get it. Get it. Yeah, they might make snap decisions. You know, like, so they at a concert. What makes women at a concert show their titties? They didn't show their titties while they was at work. They didn't show their titties while they were at family dinners. But they go to Mardi Gras or back in the day on the Jerry Springer show, which was mimicking Mardi Gras. You add a little spirits, and then the roar of the crowd, and next thing you know, here you are going topless. That's not something you would normally do, but because you've been looking for attention, and a lot of times the people who need the most attention aren't the people who ask for it. Now, we get sick, and we get tired, and we get so sick and tired of people who are so obnoxious with their attention seeking. Like, oh, God, here you go. Ah! But sometimes the people who need the attention the most aren't the people who ask for it. A lot of times they are the ones who will do certain things to try to get them noticed that you may not even notice that they're doing in order to get attention. Understand what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? So those might be the people who took their shirt off, pulled their dick out, ran onto a football field and ran out into a football field naked. You know what I'm saying? Like 15 minutes of fame. Ah, yeah, I got arrested, but I got it. I'm immortalized. B-more says, leave the eyeliner alone. Pardon me, everybody. My nigga. You are looking at a man that would never put makeup on his face. I don't even put lotion on his face. I'm going to show you something. If you think I have on eyeliner, because you tripping, dude. You see that? Ain't nothing on my face. This head shines without shit. You see my hand? Is it shiny? No. I do not. Look at these hands. I don't use lotion. I don't use shit. I'm as natural as they come. I'm a real man. R-E-A-L-M-A-N. And that's whatever you consider a real man to be. When they have those real man conversations, they say son. They say Omar. Like, no, I'm not doing that shit. Any punk shit, any crazy shit, anything, any enhancement shit, I'm not doing it. Filters on selfies, no, count me out. We don't alter our appearance over here. So you thinking eyeliner, we ain't even talking about fucking chapstick. We don't fuck around like that.
Just thought you should know.
Just thought you were talking about some mascara.
Man, you's crazy.
Care Bear said, eyeliner, surely you jest. I'm going to take that as a compliment, like maybe my eyes are so stunning that they look like I have on mascara. Oh, wait, that's the eyelashes shit. Yeah, that's what, ain't that what mascara? Mascara is the eyelash, is the eyelash shit, right? Oh. Decisions made under the influence. Now, for all I know, B-More came in here because he needed some attention. Now he got it. Now, he won't have any long-term effects over his attention seeking. There won't be any long-term effects. People are going to dispute you because the people who are commenting against you have seen me in person. They're like, nah, that, no. He was under the influence, Cheryl. He was under the influence. He might be under the influence of SAs. SAs, you know, SAs are. But I can't say that on YouTube. We got to keep it cleaner than clean. I can say fuck shit, hell, suck a dick, eat a put. I can say all of those things, but I can't say. What up, Stacey White? Thanks for coming on through. But yeah, so like I said, people who are attention seekers, they will do certain things. They will make snap decisions. They will make decisions on the fly that may sometimes land them in jail, that may sometimes ruin their reputation, that may sometimes have other people looking at people even associated with them sideways, like, that's your brother? That's what y'all do? That's your club member? That's what y'all do? He was wearing y'all emblem. He was wearing y'all shirt. He was wearing... Under the influence, attention seekers, under the influence of the crowd. You know, my big brother, he was a thrill seeker. He was a thrill seeker. You know what I mean? He raced motorcycles before. And one time, for the crowd, pulled off and did this wheelie and lost control of the motorcycle. I guess he went into a gear faster than he meant to go into the gear, and he almost flipped over. People, the way he handled it must have been good enough to where they thought that it was part of the show, part of his show, because he was about to do a race. He said the bike almost fell on him, but he finally got control of the bike, and the crowd started yelling, and he was like, heart beating out his chest and shit. But he was like, yeah, I did that for the crowd. I did that for the crowd, because he was a thrill seeker and somewhat of an attention seeker, but he could have really gotten hurt. He could have really, really gotten hurt. You know how motorcycle accidents are. You know how they go. So he got away with that. Luckily, it could have been worse. But other people who have... Remember the crocodile hunter? Steve. Remember him? Thrill seeker. Steve Irwin, thank you, Care Bear. Steve Irwin died doing what he loved. That's the best that we can say. Yeah, you died. He died doing what he loved. Oh, I can't say that. He died doing what he loved, but he also left behind his child, his children, and all of that. So all they have left is his estate and his legacy. What did they need? Him. Him. And he wasn't even fighting a crocodile. I guess he conquered the crocodiles, But that Stingray wasn't on. He hadn't gotten the memo. I don't know this bull. Damn, his brother just transitioned. Wow. Wow. His being under the influence for Steve Irwin ended his life, affected his family and his fans. He had a lot of fans. So yeah, those decisions that you make under the influence can have long-term effects. Some of them are irreversible, like transitioning. Well, I guess we can't even say transition when you pass away suddenly. That's not a transition. We say you transition when, but then I don't know. The point in which life crosses over to the afterlife, we have questions. So Cheryl says, "Oh no, he was, God was on his side. He was under the influence. God was on, my big brother was wild." He took a lot of chances in life. He was under the influence a lot, and he didn't use substances. That wasn't him. I don't even want to get into the things that I've done under the influence of alcohol. I'm good. Other people who make decisions under the influence that affect them for a long, long time. I'm going to have to go back to that first date we was talking about. That man was under that first date. Well, women become under the influence of certain men too. And they make decisions long-term, decisions that will affect them in the long term. You know, decisions like giving up the ass on the first night. Not that I'm against that. I think it's actually you kind of get to the bag. But depending on the responsibility that you take in carrying out that sex on the first night or sex on the first, and I don't mean sex on the first date. I mean sex on the first night you meet somebody. Like we met today, we fucked today. A baby could come out of that. Because you met somebody and you were so enthralled with them and you was just... like that first day, that influence didn't influence you to use protection. You might have got pregnant and got burnt all in the same night. Herpes, chlamydia, and a president, and a pregnancy. It has happened. Yes, it has. Gave you the luggage, the package. Hopefully, they ain't give you the HIV. That monkey, hopefully they ain't give you that. But yeah, you got the pussy bumps, you got the discharge, and you got a baby in your belly, got a baby in the belly. You got a you got a reason to stay, got a reason to go. Yo, you should have made a better decision, yo. But yo, you were feeling it that day, that night, and everything was going right. And the sex might not have even been that good. You got a three-way loss, and damn, it's understood that maybe that's not your thing, and you might not be a hoe, but you made the wrong decision because you was under the influence of the nigga that night, yo. And I think that if you had a chance to rewind the time, you might have did something different, but this time, you done messed up. Are you going to have a child? You messed up. Oh, I understand you're pro-life. You messed up. You. And that's on the dude's side, too. You was out there. You know, normally you wouldn't be out there tricking. Maybe you would. But tonight, you know, you was at the strip club and you always trying to get these strippers. They just so beautiful to you. The way they shake it. Well, this one decided to give you a try. And you taking the bump, the pussy bumps back to your girl or your wife. And that shit coming out of the hole in your dick. Oh, yeah, it's vulgar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. You're checking your drawers. You got spots. And that ain't pee. And you got a baby on the way. You don't know if that's your baby. But guess what? You got to wait. So the decisions you made that night have really, really, I bet you think again before you mess around with that girl named Champagne, that girl named Summer, that girl named Cinnamon, Sparkle. Yeah. What's up, dreamers? Thanks for coming through. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Make sure y'all hit the like button, y'all. Make sure y'all hit the like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. Yo, I'm doing pretty good. I'm feeling like a real man should, dreamers. How are you feeling? I hope you are feeling great. I have another example. Being under the influence. Things are going so great. You done met your soulmate. Oh. You done met your soulmate. You done met yourself a potential spouse. And you ain't trying to wait it on out. Dreamer, I appreciate you subscribing. I do. And I just saw one like pop up, and it must be you. I appreciate you. But yeah, you might have met a man or a woman that you consider to be a soulmate. And this is the one. This is the real one. You may have met a lot of ones, been with a few, but this one is the one for you. This one here. This one is going to get you where you want to be. Everything seems to be going so right. You never met anybody like this before. They've had you under the influence for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, four. Well, guess what happened? In the 12th week. In the 12th week, you marry them. 3 months. 90 days. 90 days from the time you met them, you said, let's do it. Meet me at the altar in the all-white dress. We ain't getting no younger. It's time to do it. Let's get married. Listen, YOLO, you only live once. It don't take years and years to get to know whether you want to be with somebody for the rest of your life. This person is my soulmate. This person affects me like nobody ever did before. I believe in this person. I can see that God sent me this person, and I'm supposed to be with them. And that was after 90 days. That was after 90 days. You was under the influence of that person. Did it ever occur to you that you don't really know this person and that you're going to get married and have to get to know somebody that you are already physically, romantically, and legally linked to? Did it ever occur to you? Well, you're under the influence. Under the influence. Married him in 90 days. You might be divorced from them in, I don't know, 180 days, whatever. Whatever the case is, marriage is not something to play around with, but plenty of people play around with it. Now, maybe you don't consider yourself to be playing around with it because you really felt like this was your soul. Maybe you really felt like they were God sent, and you really felt like you were ordained to be together, and here y'all are together. Y'all weren't wasting any more time. You wasted your time on long-term relationships with other people that panned out. Maybe you've been married before or didn't pan out. You know, it just ended. And you looking at it like, well, I wasted my time and my years. I wasted all my good years and my good time, and I'm not doing that again. I'm jumping in. Then you find out the man you married was a shyster. He wasn't nothing but a con man. He wasn't nothing but, not only was his credit bad, but you ain't have enough time to check that. He got a criminal record, but you ain't have time to check that. This cat is by all accounts, from people who know him, no good. No good. Everybody who ever fucked with him, stop fucking with him. Except you. You are the new Mark. Look at you. Bobby Hill, C-Say, and the house. I said, Bobby Hill, C-Say, thanks for coming. Now I said, thanks for coming too. I appreciate you. But yeah. You know, whirlwind romance, culminating in holy matrimony. What up, Jamaica? I'm doing good. I'm feeling like a real man should. Thanks for coming through, Jamaica. Thanks for coming through. Appreciate it. Let's see. Oh, Dreamers is from Pakistan. Pakistan, that's what's up. Okay. Can we live together? Barbara Hill C says, as I live and breathe, it's 752. Yes. And she also says, Abdul says, salute. Oh, he hasn't seen you in a minute. That's true. Yeah, good brother right there. Good brother. Good brother. Mr. Cutters, 6969. I'm new passing through. Just subscribe. Appreciate it, dog. Thank you, man. Appreciate all the new people coming through, man. You know what I mean? Hopefully, you know what I mean? I'm talking that shit that y'all want to hear. Today, we talking about decisions made under the influence. Not drugs, not alcohol, not pills, not coke, not smoke. None of that. You can be under the influence by somebody who influences you, somebody who you think is a decent person, somebody you think is a good guy. Or unfortunately for so many kids out there or young people who are very impressionable, they might be under the influence of G's that are out there. They influencing them to sell drugs, to be out there banging, to be out there doing all kinds of foul shit. And they don't know. These young kids, though, they don't know their future. They don't know that smoking somebody, hurting somebody, being out there committing violent acts or hustling on the illegal side of things. They don't know that these things can, you know, have you incarcerated for a long time. But then a lot of them think that it's cool to get incarcerated. They think it's cool to go to jail. They think it's cool and gives you street credit. And yeah, I'll just do my time. I'm not snitching. They ain't done shit. They may not have done the crime that they were arrested for and convicted for, but they ain't telling. And now they thinking that because they are under the influence of these gangsters that are out here, they thinking that, yeah, these streets are where it's at. Around my way, this is how we do. See, you are under the influence of the negative element around your neighborhood, and you haven't seen the world. You may not have even seen the next city, the next state. I've known people. You know the rapper Petey Crack? Remember the rapper Petey Crack from back in the day? State Property and all of that. He said that when he got a record contract, the first time he went down to Miami to meet Jay-Z, this is before he got signed, he said he had never been out of North Philly before. He didn't say he never been out of Philly. He said he had never been out of North Philly. Like, when you really think about that, like, what are you talking about? Like, have you ever been to South Philly? How about West Philly? Germantown? Kensington? He said he had never been out of North Philly. That's his testimony, and he stands on that to this day. He had absolutely never even been to Chester. Camden. And he was 19, 20 years old. Like, when you think about it, it's like, it's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? So maybe he just meant that he had never been out of Philly. Because I'm like, you had to have gone downtown to the movies or something, right? I don't know. Care Bear, he said that he had never been out of North Philly. In every interview or every documentary with him, they say the same thing. And I'm like, they must be misquoting him. He must have meant that he never been outside of Philly. You had to have been outside of North Philly. But you never know. Even if he had never been outside of Philly, that's very limited. Like, you never even went to Atlantic City? Atlantic City? And, you know, I know people who from Philly who hadn't been to Atlantic City. Not that you have to go, but it seems odd that you wouldn't make it at some point, right? 60 miles away. Anyway, so it's somebody like him who had the potential to see the world. You were on a major rap label, one of the top labels at the time, being around people who were touring the world and who had access and the ability to give you access and ability to see the world, but that's where you were. So these young kids out here packing pistols and selling drugs and taking chances on their freedom and their life and their health, they under the influence of these gangsters. And they think that that's all to it. They think that that's the way to be. Because the young people are the ones who always talk about something. Yeah, man, we're going to always be cool for life. We're going to be down for life. You know what I mean? Together forever. You know, we're going to always be like this. We're going to always be like this. Because those are the things that you say when you're young. Because you don't know any better. You haven't been life-hardened yet. You haven't had the consequences of your actions really, really come down on you, rain down on you like a storm. You haven't had it yet. You haven't been betrayed by the people, the very people who said that they would always be there for you. You haven't had that happen. You haven't done a crime or were in the vicinity of a crime, witnessed a crime, and got arrested for it and interrogated for it. And the detectives told you that the other guy already told on you. And you're thinking, like, how could they tell on me? I didn't even do anything. He's the one who did it. You haven't been through that yet. You haven't been sold out. You haven't been lied to. You haven't been abandoned. Not yet. Not yet. But now you're suffering the long-term effects. The arrest. The incarceration. And everything that happens to you behind bars. Long-term. What's up, FXD? And also Tez. Tez says that's the easy way out. Is it the easy way out or is it the easy way in? What's up, Nate Davis? Thanks for coming through, y'all. I appreciate y'all. Thanks for coming through. Appreciate. Make sure y'all hit that like button, though. When y'all coming in, hit that like button, please. Share the show. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. Right now, we're talking about decisions made under the influence. Decisions made under the influence. What you know? What do you know? What do you know? Since we was talking about a little bit of that gangster shit. What do you know about your dad, your uncle, your big brother that you looked up to so much coming home from jail? And either coming home from jail ready to get right back into trouble and the things that he did to land him in jail, or coming home to try to change his life, save his life, turn things around. You know, not everybody who changes their life around for positive things is appreciated by people. So you might have been, you know, you might have been saying things like, yeah, when my brother come home, we gonna be regulating y'all. Only reason y'all fucking with me is because my brother ain't home. And when my brother come home and he coming home soon, it's gonna be on. It's up for y'all. It's up for y'all. Watch. When he come home, yeah, we coming around and
we coming around, y'all might not be around. And your brother come home with some assalamu alaikum shit. Your brother come home on some old, yo, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior shit. Your brother comes home on some old, listen, we need to unite and we need to stand together and we need to do better. And you like, but baby bro, we got people to shoot. When I came to see you on the VI day, on the VI, you know, I thought you was coming home. I got a new gun for you. I got a new pistol. Shiny. Come on. I got a list of people that have been talking shit since you've been in. You ain't gonna let them talk shit about you. They said that you were snitching. They said that they was gonna get you because you took out they homie. They said, and your brother like, we got to leave them childish games alone. It's time for us to build. It's time for us to unite. It's time for us to do the right thing. It's time for us to raise the babies in the right way. It's time for us to teach the youth. It's time for us to straighten out our elders. It's time for us to listen to our elders. It's time for us to do better. And you like, yeah, but on the flip side, you know, what you know about your brother, uncle, cousin, father, you know, homie coming home, and you have gotten on some positive shit. You have stayed out of trouble. You have decided that you wanted to live instead of dancing with death and courting with death. Death. You hitting death from the back. I want to die. I want to die. And you said, no more of that. I don't choose violence anymore. And they came home from jail. They ready to set up shop again. Like, I don't, you know, I got a job, man. I got 401k, all the overtime I can get. You know, I'm doing all right. I'm up for a promotion. I went and got my GED. And your newly released gangster homie like, the fuck been happening around here since I've been up? What? A job? Doing what? They ain't gonna pay you what we getting, what we was getting. I forgot to tell y'all. Y'all can call into the show. 319-527-6199. That's the number to call. I said a 319-527-6199. Yes, y'all. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get on the line. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get your shine, baby. Get your shine, baby. 319-527-6199. If y'all would like to call into the show, speak your piece. You can yell, scream, cuss. This is a totally nonsensical show. You can say whatever you want to say. I will not stop you from saying anything, even if it's disrespectful. It has to be respectfully disrespectful. Anyway, we have a caller on the line now. Wouldn't you know it? Caller! Caller with the last numbers, 4828. Welcome to the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Thank you for holding. What's on your mind this afternoon?
Hello. Okay, so I don't think that I heard you mention, and I may have missed it, but I don't think I heard you mention making decisions under the influence of your parents, especially within certain religions, or making decisions under the influence of your boss, especially if you're trying to get like a promotion.
I haven't, but I was going to mention all of that.
Okay.
I was just about to talk about that.
Oh,
but
okay.
Maybe you should.
Look at that.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I mean, let's talk about it. I think that a lot of times in the workforce, especially if they know that you're ambitious or easily influenced, bosses, like the higher ups will get you to do their dirty work, they'll influence you to do that. you know, fire people or put, you know, your coworkers in compromising positions. Just to kind of like test you to see if you're really promotable material.
Yeah.
You know.
Those are facts. Those are facts.
Yeah.
And you want to do better for yourself. You took the job in hopes of moving up, being promoted, you know, doing as well as you can. So, you know, the root influence was of a positive nature. But, you know, when you find out the ruthlessness that may be employed by with the motivation of monetary gain, in other words, what people will do for money is not always a scrupulous thing. Unscrupulous tactics happen all the time in corporate America. In corporate America is any job where the money is involved, for real, for real. We be thinking that corporate America is all suits and wingtips and seven-figure salaries, but it's not. You know, it's anywhere where the mind is on the money, and that's any business that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I mean, you pretty much outlined it. You know, they may influence you to, you know, snitch on your employees. And I only use the word snitching at work when it's something that doesn't affect everybody, but you use it anyway. You know, like things like stealing time, I believe, affects everybody. Mm-hmm. Because you have people mm-hmm. who come in on time, leave on time, and they're not getting money like that. So when a person is stealing time, you know, taking 2-hour lunch breaks with only signing out for a half an hour or, you know, having somebody sign them in and stuff like that, that employs other people and that can get other people in trouble. So I don't consider telling on somebody because of those things to be snitching. But there are things that are, that definitely are snitching, like such and such was in the bathroom for like 45 minutes while we were slaving over these hot computers. Like, you don't know if they had a stomach ache. You know what I mean? You know, shorty period might have been on. She, you know, she has endometriosis, so her periods might be on some old crazy, you know, reckless shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, here you are. Like, don't nobody need to know that. Or telling the boss, well, you know, they don't think such and such doesn't think very highly of you. He or she said this about you. Your boss don't need to know that. Your boss don't need to know that. You know what? One thing that happened to me before, I had just started this new job, and I was the manager. Matter of fact, I was the manager of operations. And so the managers under me were, you know, they were trying to get used to me. And so in order to get a little closer to me, not that I think that they really like me or anything like that, but one of them let me hear a conversation that he was having with my boss. And my boss wasn't really saying anything bad about me. She was saying things like, well, you know, he isn't perfect, but, you know, I think he has a good upside and blah, 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 blah. But I'm thinking that she must be saying that in response, because, like, what reason does she have to be discussing who I am or what I can do with him? So he let me hear what she said about me, but he didn't let me hear what he said to make her say anything in response about me. And I looked at him and I said, listen, I don't want to hear that. I'm going back in my office. You finish talking to our boss and I'll talk to you later. Like, I don't want it. I'm thinking, like, he really thought, like, what was that supposed to do? That was supposed to influence me to think, like, oh, yeah, this is my man. Like, you're a snake. You're a snake. So bitch ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, but he thought I was a nerd. He thought I was somebody who didn't know what time it was. I'm like, but that's why I'm in my position and you're in your position. He wound up getting let go anyway, you know, but he was one of the, anyway. So these are certain things that can happen when you're under the influence of certain people at your job or under the influence of the culture of promotion and advancement. It can mess you up.
Sometimes the influence in reference to a job is applied sometimes it's implied, and sometimes it's all in your own head.
Mm-hmm.
Like you create this reason why you have to sidestep, you know, you have to do certain things in order to impress, you know, the administration. Like, say, so I used to work marketing and promotions. And all of the work that you would have to hand in was supposed to be your own creative work. But there were people who took shortcuts, you know, getting templates and then just tweaking them and, you know, stuff like that. And there was this one chick and two guys. They would watch, instead of doing their own damn job, they would watch what everybody else was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then just so, like, happen to casually or not so casually, one guy just would come out with it. How are things going? How's the program work for you? You know, first of all, mind your business. We all have deadlines here, sir. You know, but they would casually mention while administration was around, whatever program or templates that other people were using, just to try to get on administration's good side,
mm-hmm.
only to find out that administration cares about the end result.
Mm-hmm.
So now you just look stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the boss is influencing you directly to, you know, to do certain things and make certain decisions. Sometimes they just imply that you should. Like, they're not necessarily saying, hey, this is what you should do. They just make you feel like you should be making certain decisions. It's still influence. So, just saying.
And from your point of view, what would be the long-term effects of doing some of these unscrupulous things that you mentioned? Like, how could that affect you in the long term? We know what you're looking for in the immediate sense.
Yeah. Long term, you know, if you're the person laying down the this person's, you know, I don't want to say snitch, but if you're the snitch, you actually in the long run still don't end up being promoted because now they feel like they can't trust you. Administration they don't trust you. If you do that to your coworkers rather than working with your coworkers so that everybody can come up, what will you do to the administration? Now they're looking at you, and they looked at those people as somebody who, well, if we were to advance them in any way, then they might, who's to say that they won't come for our jobs?
Yep.
So it could actually sully how people look at you.
It could. But I was thinking exactly what you said about them not promoting you. They make mm-hmm. the decision to never promote you because they're thinking that, well, you know, they're best in this position.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just right here. We'll give them more money, you know, like on a yearly basis, but we won't really, you know, advance them. And when
mm-hmm.
when they apply for higher positions, we'll just take somebody from another account, but we won't promote from within as it pertains
mm-hmm.
to that. Like, not going to get it. Never going to happen. Like, all right, well, they went to school to try, you know, and got a degree in order to get that position. We'll move them to another department. Dang,
mm-hmm.
dang, not in here. All right, so the final thing I want to talk about is what you brought up when you said the influence of your parents and their religious beliefs and things like that. Let's talk about that a little bit. What was on your mind when you mentioned that? Like, do you have an example, or like?
I see it a lot with Catholicism and Islam. As far as parental influence in the kids making certain decisions, you know, life decisions based on that. And I'm not
mm-hmm.
saying anything's wrong with it. It's but as time goes by, I notice a lot more young adults and teenagers going in the completely opposite direction of it because the influence is too strong and they're fighting against that influence. You know, there's something about a religious influence that actually can ground you. It can be a good thing.
It can. I agree.
You know, it can be very grounding. So I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it. I just see, you know, that influence causing students, kids to make decisions in the opposite direction of said religion, you know, or to the extreme in the religion because of the influence of their parents.
I understand. And it's true. It's true. People, because of the influence of their parents, even sometimes the influence, the negative influence of their parents as it pertains to religion, because, you know, through religion, some parents have tried to justify abuse and negative influential decisions. You know, you may marry somebody that you weren't in love with or that you didn't or that wasn't even good physically or spiritually for you. You know, you may reject other logical realms of thought because of how grounded you have been in your religious beliefs. It can stop you from even recognizing other people's religious beliefs within your own belief system. Like, maybe you think that you mentioned Catholics, so you may look at all Protestants as y'all not even real. Or you may be a Baptist and think that the Holiness Pentecostals are on some other shit, or some Lutherans or Mormons or whatever. There are at least 666 denominations of Christianity, right? There's a Christian brand for everybody. But because you have been under the influence of your parental guidance as it pertains to religion, or we can go straight to religion itself, because you were raised in the church and you believed in the doctrine that the church gave you, it may close you off to other things or allow certain things that aren't good to creep in. Like, God forbid, but there's something that we have to deal with. Maybe you would allow, because you were so influenced by a religious figure, you may allow them to do some things to you that should never be done to anybody. And they may have long-term effects. Now, I'm sure that y'all all can figure this out. I'm trying to figure out this whole YouTube thing because they act, you know, they don't want you to say shit. You know what I mean? Like, trust me, after this episode, they're going to temporarily put this show under review just because of the title. And then they're going to manually listen to the show, because I'll petition for that, and then they'll take it off. But in the meantime, it won't be able to get the revenue that it's supposed to. It's a crazy game, but it's something that we have to deal with. Thanks for coming through.
Well, I want
to. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was listening to what you were saying about the religion and being influenced. I think, Mormons, especially with the husbands being able to take 50 million wives, like the first wife is like influenced to make the decision to go along with it, even though she knows what's up, like as far as what he's allowed to do. I feel like the women are influenced by the religion to allow certain things that maybe their core wouldn't normally allow. I hope I said that right.
Mormons and Mennonites, man.
Because I've watched documentaries with people who stopped being Mormon, and that's one of the things that they've said. Even men, there are men who said that they were, you know, they were pressured or strongly influenced to make the decision to take on multiple wives, and when they were just fine with the one, sometimes that they had.
Well, in the Mormon religion, there's so much. It's for those who don't know, a Mormon is an American religion. So it's the Church of Latter-day Saints. So they it came out in the 1800s. And there are some people who believe that Mormonism was sort of invented to combat Reconstruction, you know, when the slaves were about to be released. And right afterwards, because it hasn't been known to be a very liberal sect of Christianity. Because the things that Mormons have done in the name of Christianity to the Native Americans and to Black people, I'm just going to say, study your history. Today, look up Mormonism and I would say Google Mormonism and racism, and you may find some interesting information. And unfortunately, it's factual information. All right, we're about to get on up out of here. Listen, I appreciate you coming on the show today. It's always a blast, always informative. It's always a good time, and I'm always feel smarter when you come through. So thanks.
No problem. Thanks for having me. See you in a couple of weeks.
All right. You have a good day. All
right. You too.
All right. Good stuff. All right. So that's going to do it. We're going to do these birthday shout-outs, and then we're going to get up out of here so y'all can have a great day, so y'all can continue on your positive ways, and so you can go out there and influence somebody in a good way, and you can become influenced by others and not make short-term decisions that affect you in long-term ways and have you all messed up. Have you linked up and locked up and linked up. We ain't trying to get that stuff stacking and stocked up. All right. We have some birthday shout outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious February 18th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. We get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. We get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. We get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box. And this is the last day of Aquarius. It went fast, man. I don't know. Is it enough days in Aquarius? I don't know. But y'all had a good run. Carol Chamberlain and y'all and Stacy and Carol Chamberlain, all the Aquarian up. But it's over. You got to let the Pisces rock on tomorrow, but I want y'all to rock out today. All right. Angel Seagraves, and she's raising money for Autism Speaks. Turning 49 years old today, and also Selena Sage Kiveni, happy birthday to you, and Selena Tamika Sanders, turning 38 years old today, and Sean Ingram, straight out of 1973, turning 51 years old today, and Sonia Coleman Jennings, happy birthday to you, turning 60 years old today, and Patricia Kelly, turning 52 years old today, and Deborah Pasquale, happy birthday to you, and Keisha Randall, turning 39 years old today, and Destiny Scruggs, happy birthday to you, and Angel Steininger, turning 49 years old today. And Nicole Carter, happy birthday to you. And my cousin, Edine Vines, turning 60 years old today. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all. And I hope that today finds you all a good health, happiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. And that goes out to each and every person out there born on this glorious. February 18th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally, all of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn it too loud. Just turn it up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn. The damn. The rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn. Rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen, man, you can be under the influence of drugs, you can be under the influence of thugs, and be under the influence of being bugged, but hopefully somebody takes you by the hand and your arm and makes you understand that you can do better than you did before, and you can get the highest score. And I hope that the negativity that comes around tries to shower on you no more. Listen. There are a lot of ways to be under the influence. People that you love, even people that you dislike, even people that you hate can have an influence over you that might make you make decisions right here and right now that might affect you for the long term. And you might make, and they may affect you so bad in the long term that you forget the root that it grew from in the first place. Where it stemmed from in the first place may have you scratching your head and trying to remember until you get reminded. Somebody might make you get reminded. Anyway, I want y'all to stay on the path of righteousness. And that's whether you are religious or not, spiritual or not. You can be a good person regardless of what your belief system is if you want to be good. And I hope that you are. And I hope that the decisions that you make henceforth will be great, good, fulfilling, and filled with happiness, comfortability, peace, and greatness. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. Love y'all right back to life. We will be back tomorrow night, late tomorrow night. It'll really be over into Tuesday, like maybe like 1 o'clock, something like that. Let me just tell y'all this. Monday night, I work from 4 o'clock to 12:30 a.m. So y'all do the math on that. But I'll be here, and you can guarantee that. So for all my late night people, 12:30 on the East Coast is when I get off. It takes me about a half an hour to get home. It takes me a few minutes to write up the show. I'll be on by like 1:30, some shit like that. Anyway, if you're here, then I'll see you here. And if I don't see you here, then I'll see you next time. But I'll be looking forward to it every time. Make sure y'all hit the like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. So Blog Talk, we're going to get you out of here. Yeah, 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 yeah. And for my YouTubers, you know just how we do, but thanks for coming.